time when we desperately need to pray. We live in a world that needs prayer. We live in a nation that needs prayer. We have a church that needs prayer. We have homes that need prayer. And we need to learn to pray, and not just that, but we need to learn to pray effectively. We need to learn to pray effectively to see God answering our prayers. And I want to speak to you this morning about the key to effective prayer. We've been talking about some keys in recent weeks. And I want to preach to you about this topic, this subject, the key to effective prayer. If you still have your Bible open there in Luke chapter 11, look down just a little bit further. We read in verse 1 where the disciples said to Jesus, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Lord, teach us to pray. There was a desire to pray, a desire to learn to pray. And then notice what it says beginning down in verse number 5, Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. No, leave me alone. I'm sleeping. It's midnight. Leave me alone. Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? In other words, will he give him a scorpion instead? To a son that's hungry?" It says, verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" The disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." You know, there is so much we could study on the topic of prayer, but the bottom line is this: we just need to learn to pray. We just need to learn to pray. And so maybe learn how to pray and so on. That's good. And that's necessary sometimes to maybe teach some things about how to pray. But we also just need to learn to pray. To take time to pray today. To take time on Monday to pray. And not just, you know, "Lord, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my..." Pray the Lord my soul to take. "And if I die before I wake, feed Jake." Or something like that. You know, not just that. Or not just, you know, a simple prayer at a mealtime, but we really need to learn to pray. We need to get a hold of our God. I mean, the God of the universe, who, if we're saved, He's our Heavenly Father. He wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to talk to Him. And we need to learn to pray. The disciples did not ask, "Teach us how to pray." They asked, "Lord, teach us to pray." What are some keys this morning to praying effectively? What are some keys to praying effectively? Let me give you a few things quickly. Number one, effective prayer starts with a relationship. Effective prayer starts with a relationship. It starts with salvation. We must first enter into a relationship with God. We must become the children of God. I want you to turn back with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, it's the first book of the New Testament. I'll read there in just a moment. You can listen and turn pages at the same time. We need to be children of God. What happens when a lost sinner comes to God, and when a lost sinner recognizes their need for forgiveness and mercy, and when we come to God in simple, humble, childlike faith, and we believe the gospel and we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Bible teaches us that we're born again spiritually. We become the children of God. We become a part of God's family. Galatians 3:26 says, through faith in Christ, we become the children of God. Being in God's family, think about it now, that's a great privilege. That's a position of privilege. To know that now the God of the universe becomes your Heavenly Father, Wow, what a privilege. What a position of privilege to be a child of God. Hey, the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the God of all comfort, that's my Heavenly Father. That's my God. Once we are His children, we can know that the Heavenly Father wants to do good things for us. Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 7, and notice verses 7 through 11. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, listen to this, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Boy, what a position of privilege. And if we're going to have effective prayer, if we're going to pray effectively and be able to receive things from God and have answers to prayer, you know what it starts with? It's got to start with a relationship. It's got to start with first being born again, being saved, becoming a part of God's family. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's His first desire for you. And you can come in a humble prayer to God, knowing I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I need Christ, I want to be saved, I want to go to heaven, I want to be God's child. And He will save you. You know, effective praying has got to start with first there being a relationship. You've got to be saved. You need that relationship with God. What are some keys to effective praying? Number one, very simply, effective prayer starts with a relationship. Because once I get into God's family, once I become His child, wow, what a position of privilege. My Heavenly Father can hear and answer my prayers. That's where it's got to start. It's got to start with a relationship. Number two, effective praying starts, or say it this way, effective praying requires right living. Effective praying requires right living. Do you know something? I'll let you in on a little secret. Children behaving badly have never made a dad happy. It doesn't, right? Children behaving badly have never made a dad happy. Children behaving wrongly will not make dad want to bless them with good things. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. It hinders that relationship. It's important that we live right. It's important that we as God's children live right. Children living in sin, or children living in rebellion, or children living in disobedience to their Heavenly Father, you know what? They're not going to have a real close relationship with their Heavenly Daddy, are they? Just like if we were, as a son or a daughter, if we were just living in great rebellion or disobedience to our parents, we wouldn't have a close relationship. That's real, and that's sad, and so on. But listen, just think about it in our relationship with God. If we live in rebellion to God, or we don't want to follow God's Word, or we don't want to obey God's Word, or we're just going to live in sin that dishonors God and doesn't glorify God, why in the world should our Heavenly Father then want to hear and answer our prayers and give us good things? Oh, it hinders. It greatly hinders. Effective praying requires right living. It requires holy living. In James 5 and verse 16, let me read it to you. It says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The effectual, in other words, the effective, we could say, the effectual, fervent prayer of a, what kind of a man? Of a righteous man availeth much. We need right living. I want you to turn back with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms. If you're not sure where that is, if you were probably to let your Bible fall open somewhere close to the middle, maybe a little bit left of middle, you'll find the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. And I want you to look there at Psalm chapter 66 and verse number 18. Psalm chapter 66 and verse number 18. It's the prayer of a righteous man. It's the prayer of a righteous woman. It's the prayer of a righteous child that will be truly effective. Don't expect God to hear or honor the prayers of the wicked. Effective praying requires holy living. In Psalm 66, in verse number 18, notice what it says. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I'm going to hold on to sin and iniquity, regard iniquity in my heart, the Bible says, the Lord will not hear me. If I'm a child and disobeying God and dishonoring God and not wanting to follow His Word and not wanting to live pleasing to Him, the Lord will not hear me. Effective praying requires right living. After Psalms, turn over to the book of Proverbs. This will be the very next book of the Bible. Proverbs chapter 15. Boy, I'm trying to help you this morning. I don't want to discourage you about praying. I want you to pray. We sang those songs on purpose this morning. I want to encourage you to pray. And Lord, teach us to pray. And don't ever give up. Just pray. But let me encourage you in something that effective praying requires right living. Right living. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 8, it says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. So the prayer of the one who's living uprightly and living rightly and so on, that's a delight to God. Look down in verse 29, Proverbs 15, 29. The Lord is, what's that next word? Far. It doesn't say the Lord is close. It says the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. It says, He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, and that's something we talked about last week. When people, you know, turn their ear away, they don't want to hear what God says. They don't want to know what the Bible says. Well, here's something about that that relates to a person's praying. Because it says there, Proverbs 28:9, He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. And then notice Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And then turn to one more reference with me over this topic. Isaiah chapter 59. Just a little bit further. In your Bible there, you'll find Isaiah chapter 59. And notice verses 1 and 2. Turn there with me. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. In other words, you know what? God's arm is still stretched out today, just like it's always been stretched out. Nobody has cut God's arm off. God's arm is still able to reach down to us today. He's still able to answer prayers today. He's still able to bless us today. He's still able to do miracles today. He's not gone hard of hearing. God's not become deaf. He can still hear us. But it says, here's what the problem is, verse 2. It's not that God, somebody cut His arm off and He can't help us. It's not that He's deaf and He can't hear us. No, verse 2. But your iniquities, our sin, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. You know what sin does? It defiles our prayers. Sin and carnal living and wickedness in our lives, you know what it does? It just defiles our prayers. It makes it so that our works for God, our sacrifices for God, are no longer pleasing to Him, but they're an abomination. It makes our prayers, it just defiles them. It makes them where they don't honor Him. Our prayers then are no longer a sweet-smelling savor or odor up to God. No, instead they're, that they're praying to me and they want this and they expect me to do that and they want me to answer them and do this, but, their sin, their iniquity, my children. Understand? Sin will defile our prayers. Sin will defeat effective praying. Just holding on to sin and maintaining sin in our life will defeat effective praise. What do we need to do when we, even as a child of God, when we do sin, when we do wrong, run to God, confess it, and forsake it? Because the Bible says He will forgive our sins. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, the prayer that we need to pray when we've got sin in our heart and sin in our lives is just run to God humbly to confess that and make it right. Why? Because I want close fellowship with my Daddy. I want close fellowship with my Heavenly Father. I don't want it to be that when I'm praying when I've got a sick child, or when I'm praying and I have a financial need, and when I'm praying and I want God's power to use me as a preacher, or I'm praying that I want my neighbor to get saved. I want it to be that God hears my prayers and answers my prayers. But if there's sin in our hearts and lives, that defeats effective praying. That hinders effective praying. Effective praying requires right living. Effective praying requires right living. We said number one, effective prayer starts with a relationship. Get into a relationship with God. Become His child. Because when He's a child, we've got a Heavenly Father who loves us and who loves to do good things for us. He'd love to answer your prayers. He'd love to bless you. Starts with a relationship, and secondly, effective praying requires right living. Right living. Number three, effective praying requires a burdened heart. Effective praying requires a burdened heart. Someone needs to have a burden to pray. A burden to pray. By that I mean a desire, a longing, a sense of urgency. Maybe if I could even say it this way, an unstoppable desire to pray. You know what, when someone is really burdened for something, I don't mean burdened in the sense of carrying a trouble and a trial. I mean burdened in that we have a heart, a passion for something, we're really concerned of something and caring for something. Someone with a burden for something does something about it. You know, people that... You know what? The reality is this. People that have been touched by cancer and affected by cancer, maybe they've lost a loved one to cancer. The truth is, those people are the ones that for something. We want to do something. We need a burden to pray. We need to have a burdened heart that, you know what? My children, they need the Lord in their life. My family needs God. My marriage needs help. My finances are a mess. My spiritual life is not what it ought to be. My Christian life is not what it ought to be. Or I want to be more used of God. Or whatever it is, we need to have a burden to pray, a desire to pray, an unstoppable desire, an unquenchable desire to pray. We need that. We need a burden to pray. But many things will happen in our lives daily that try to keep us from praying. But we must have an unstoppable desire to pray. When we get up in the morning, things won't go right. When we get up in the morning, we'll be busy with other things. The alarm won't work, or we'll get up late, or we get distracted, or we have trouble with the kids, or this or that happens. Or we're stuck in traffic, we're running late, or, you know, it's bad weather, we know we got to do this, or, oh, I got to stop somewhere before I get to work today. And so, you know what, everything possible will happen to try to distract us from praying, or to try to keep us from praying. You know what, we need that burdened heart that says, I've got to pray. I've got to spend time in prayer this morning. I got to spend time in prayer tonight. It doesn't matter how tired I am. I want to spend time in prayer before I go to bed. Or I want to spend time in prayer this morning. Or I know I've got to spend time with God before I face the day and face the troubles. Or before I enter into work. And I need wisdom. And I need God to help me make good decisions. And I mean, in all things, we need to pray. But we need that burden to pray. Otherwise, it'll be so easy not to pray. It'll be easy not to pray, won't it? I'm being honest, that's what it's like. Things will distract us, things will hinder us. Turn if you would, over to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, just towards the very end of your Bible, you'll find a very small little letter that was written by James. We believe, of course, it was given by God, but there's some instruction here for us. James 5, and verse number 16 to 18. James 5, verses 16 to 18. Notice what it says with me. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. God did a miracle back in the time of Elijah in answer to his prayer. Can I ask you something? Are we fervent in our prayers? Verse 16 said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Are we praying effectually? Are we praying effectively? Are we praying fervently? Are we praying with a burdened heart? Are we faithful to pray? Are we fervent in our prayers? Do we have such a burden to pray that we just won't allow other things to interfere with our prayer time? Or does it just so easily seem that the thing to go is that our prayer time gets missed? Because, you know, we got work and we got school and we got this and we got that and we got to take care of the kids and we got to eat breakfast and we got to do this and we... And so easily what can be neglected is effectual, fervent prayer. People often become distracted and busy, and so they fail to pray. How sad it is. Notice verse 17 said that Elias, that was just another name for the Old Testament prophet Elijah, he was a man subject like unto passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. Think about this. Did Elijah ever become tired? Sure he did. Was he Elijah flesh and bones? Was he a normal man just like you and me? Sure he was. There was nothing different about Elijah. There was nothing supernatural about Elijah. He was a man just like us who at times, we read in scriptures, he could get discouraged. At times he got weary. At times he got tired. But you know what we need to do? Despite those passions, despite the tiredness, despite the busy world we live in, we need such a burden to pray that will say, I can't miss that time to pray. I can't neglect that time to pray. It's been said that Susanna Wesley, the mother of Charles Wesley and John Wesley, and she had 17 children. I would think that having 17 children would make you a pretty busy mother. We have 7 children. And I know my wife is a very busy mother. And she gets tired. And she gets weary. But you know what she has to take time to do every morning? To pray. It's a priority. Susanna Wesley made it her priority to pray for an hour every morning. At least an hour every morning. You know what? She said, if you're going to make it with the 17 kids, you've got to pray for an hour. Hey, if you're going to make it today in this world we live in, where there's troubles and there's strife and there's so many marital problems and family problems and school's hard and work's hard and there's a lot of burdens and pressures and expectations from all around and there's sin and temptation all around. If we're going to make it as Christians and make it in our families, you know what we've got to have a burden to do? To pray. We've got to have a burden to pray. If we're going to stay right and keep ourselves right and do right and have the strength we need and have the grace of God we need to react right with our family, we need to pray. When we neglect to pray, things are not the same. They're not. We need to pray. We need a burden to pray. He was a man with a burden to pray. Elijah had an overwhelming desire to pray. He knew that nothing else could accomplish what prayer could accomplish. And so he prayed fervently. He prayed earnestly. Someone has said this, when we work. But when we pray, God works. God works. And we need to pray. Because you know what? There's problems that we can't solve. We need God to solve them. There's questions that we don't have the answer to, and we need God to give the answer. There's strength that we don't have, and in our weakness, we need God to give us strength. We need God's grace and God's power and God's help and God's wisdom. We need God's help to overcome temptation. We just need God, and so we need to pray. Desperately, we need a burdened heart to pray, an unstoppable desire to pray, and realize that we can do nothing without the Lord. Realize we need His grace and power in our lives. Realize we need more of the Holy Spirit's filling. We need more of His controlling in our homes. We need more of Him. Have you paused to pray today? What a convenient time to ask. No, Pastor, I was in such a rush. You know, I even came in late today. I didn't have time to pray. And you know what? That's me. That's you. That's all of us, isn't it? There are times where we get too busy. We get too troubled. We got to rush to work. We got to do this. You know? And if we fail to pray, we're missing something we desperately need. Oh, we need a burden to pray. Have you prayed today? Will you spend time in prayer this evening? You spend time in prayer on Monday morning before you face the day. We spend time in prayer on Tuesday morning before you rush off to work or rush off to school. You know what? Satan will do all he can to keep us from praying because he wants us to be too busy. He wants us to be too distracted. He wants us to be too tired to pray. Satan knows we cannot be victorious Christians without a life of prayer. He wants us to be powerless. He wants us to be ineffective. We need a burden to pray. We must have such a burdened heart that think about it this way. I just can't go on without prayer. I can't go on without prayer. I can't face this without prayer. I can't do this without prayer. I need to pray. And you need to pray. Lord, I don't want to take another step without prayer. Lord, I don't want to go on without You. Lord, I don't want to live without Your power and blessing. Lord, I don't want to face the day without Your wisdom. I need Your help. Lord, I don't want to live without Your grace and guidance and presence in my life today. Will You pray? Will You pray? Do you have a burdened heart to pray and to get hold of God? Do you know why many don't receive answers to prayer? Because they don't pray. Great spiritual truth, isn't it? Know why many don't receive answers to prayer? Because they don't pray. Failure to pray indicates that something's wrong in our hearts, or we're too busy, or we're being neglectful. Oh, we need to pray. I need to pray. We all need to pray. We need to seek the face of God every day. We need that unstoppable desire to pray. The desire that says, no, I've got to pray. That's the priority. I've got to pray. I can miss this. I can do that. But I've got to pray. I've got to pray. If you don't have a burden to pray, then ask God to give you a burdened heart to pray more. If you don't have a burden to pray, ask God to give you a greater burden to pray more and pray daily and pray often. And so the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Ask God to give you a burden to pray. What are going to be some keys to effective praying? This is so important this morning. What are some keys to effective praying? Number one, effective prayer starts with a relationship. First, we all need to be saved. We need to be a child of God. Be a part of His family, because what a privileged position then. The God of the universe, He becomes our Heavenly Father. And that's a great position to be in. Because He wants to do good things for us, the Bible assures us. Effective prayer has got to start with a relationship. Number two, effective praying requires right living. Number three, effective praying requires a burdened heart. And the last thing I want to share with you, number four, is this. Effective praying requires persistent pleading. Effective praying requires persistent pleading. Persistent pleading. We need the tenacity to not give up. We need the tenacity to not faint. We need the tenacity to not quit praying. Don't give up. Don't quit when you maybe don't see the answer come like you'd like to or as quick as you'd like to. Don't be persistent. Luke 18 and verse 1 says this, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Just pray. Look back at Luke chapter 11, and that's where we're going to close this. Luke chapter 11. I think we'll finish there, unless, of course, we don't. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 10. I want you to see it one more time with me. I want you to see this thought of persistent pleading. Persistent pleading. Luke 11, verses 5 to 10 says, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend? And shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine," another friend in other words, "in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh it shall be opened." One of the keys to an effective prayer life is persistent pleading with God. Don't give up. Remember, this is in response to the disciples saying, "Lord, teach us to pray." In response to that, he shares with them this story. He shares with them this parable. He shares with them, this is what it's going to be like. You want to really learn to pray, and you want to learn to pray effectively? And Jesus gives them this story as an example, as an illustration. This story is taught. BJ, Eric, will you guys come help me? Here's a man in the story. That's how we need to pray. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Be persistent. Plead with God. Plead with God. Plead with God. Plead with God. Just like it is in that story. Hey, wake up in there. You've got to help me. I need some bread. I've got someone to feed. I need something from you. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on pleading. Keep on begging. That's what he tells us to do. That's how Jesus taught them to pray in this parable. One of the keys to effective praying is persistently pleading with God. We see in this parable that the importunate friend kept on asking, kept on pleading in order to get the bread that he needed to give to the one who was hungry. You know what? We do not bother God by our coming to Him often. He wants us to come to Him. And you go, "Oh, I don't want to annoy God." You're not going to annoy God by talking to Him. You're not going to annoy God by demonstrating that you've got enough faith to believe that God is the one who can help you with your need. That God is the one who can meet your need. And God is the one who can answer. And God is the one that can help you. Oh, He likes that. He likes that. But if there's for some reason that only God knows the reason why, the answer maybe hasn't come quickly or when we want, or maybe there's... Don't give up. Keep on pleading. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. It said there in verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And that word "ask" is really used in such a sense where it's keep on asking, and "knock" is just keep on knocking and keep on knocking. You know, keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking God to do it. And we need to be persistent. Plead with God. Be persistent with God. God wants to see that we mean business. We see in this parable that continual knocking and asking and pleading was what got the bread. The word importunity is persistently pleading for petition. In other words, that I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm not going to take no. I'm going to keep on asking, keep on asking, keep on asking. To ask God for something over and over and over again does not get old to Him. It does not bother Him. It shows that, listen, this request is important to me, and I know that You're the one that can do it. I believe that You're the one that can help me, God. And that's how we need to be in our prayer. Don't give up. Don't give up. Be persistent. If you want to be effective in your praying, then be persistent in your pleading with God. Jacob prayed all night and wrestled with the angel until God gave him the desire of his heart. Jacob petitioned God and said, "I'll not let thee go except thou bless me." And God answered his prayer and did bless him. 120 Christians gathered together in the upper room, persistently pleading with God for their petition until they prevailed in prayer. They prayed and prayed and were persistent. They waited on God and did not give up. And God gave them the fullness of His Spirit and His power. What are some keys to praying effectively? Number one, effective praying starts with a relationship. Have you been saved? Are you a child of God? Because once you are, you've got a good and loving Heavenly Father who wants to do good things for you. You need that relationship. Number two, effective praying requires right living. If a child is living in disobedience to the Father or in rebellion to God's Word, then the Father won't hear the child's prayers or give the child what they ask for. We need to concern ourselves with holy living, right living, and pleasing our Heavenly Father. Thirdly, effective praying requires a burdened heart. I ask you again, do you have an unstoppable desire to pray? Recognize that Satan will do what he can to distract us. He'll try to keep us from praying because he knows that a powerless Christian won't prevail. A powerless Christian won't be victorious. We need to be praying, Christians. We need a burden to pray. Do you have a burden that you must pray, that you cannot go on, you cannot make it without God? And number four, effective praying requires persistent pleading. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. James 5:16 told us this: the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray.